I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
Waves of illegal aliens streaming across our border, joining violent gangs, forcing families to live in fear. And what's Harry Reid doing about it? Voting to give illegal aliens social security benefits, tax breaks, and college tuition. Voting against declaring English our national language twice. And even siding with Obama and the President of Mexico to block Arizona's tough new immigration law. Harry Reid, it's clear whose side he's on, and it's not yours.
Sharon Angle says she wants to end Social Security, but we depend on that money.
She doesn't think insurance companies should have to cover the colon cancer tests that saved my life.
Sharon Angle voted against background checks for people who work with kids.
She says if you've been raped, you should be forced to have the baby. She calls it making lemonade out of lemons.
As a Republican, I can't see voting for Sharon Angle.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
How did Harry Reid get so wealthy on a public servant's income?
I did a very good job in investing.
Really? Like the shady deal where Reid made an astronomical $1 million doing nothing? The truth is, Reid is now worth up to $6 million and lives in a $1 million Washington Ritz-Carlton condo. But what's he telling struggling Nevada families?
I've been on a fixed income since I went to Washington.
Harry Reid, another multimillionaire just trying to make ends meet.
Sharon Angle is reckless, radical, and extreme.
Electing Sharon Angle will cost Northern Nevada thousands of jobs.
She will be the knockout punch for Nevada's economy.
Sharon Angle supports tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. That's just crazy.
There's a better choice. Harry Reid is saving thousands of jobs.
Let's start with the fact that I'm a Republican. There's nobody that's done more for the state.
We need the majority leader.
Replacing Senator Reid with Angle would be a disaster.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
I'm Sharon Angle, and I approve this message.
Waves of illegal aliens streaming across our border, joining violent gangs, forcing families to live in fear. And what's Harry Reid doing about it? Voting to give illegal aliens social security benefits, tax breaks, and college tuition. Voting against declaring English our national language twice. And even siding with Obama and the President of Mexico to block Arizona's tough new immigration law. Harry Reid, it's clear whose side he's on, and it's not yours.
For U.S. Senate, we have a choice. More of the same with Harry Reid or strong conservative leadership from Sharon Angle. Reid has proposed higher taxes countless times. Sharon Angle has been a leader against higher taxes in Nevada. Reid supported the bailouts. Sharon Angle opposed the bailouts. Reid pushed through the big government health care scheme. Sharon Angle opposes Obamacare. Sharon Angle, the conservative Republican choice for Senate.
Our country deserves better. PAC. TeaPartyExpress.org is responsible for the content of this ad.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. We are honored to have the final gubernatorial debate on Nevada Newsmakers over our next two broadcasts. And we welcome Rory Reid, who spent 8 years as the chairman of the Clark County Commission. Welcome, sir.
Thank you,
and
Sam.
And Brian Sandoval, who served as an assemblyman, chairman of the Nevada Gaming Commission, attorney general, and was appointed to the federal bench. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
And we're joined by Ray Hager of the Reno Gazette Journal to help with questions.
Hey, good luck to you today, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. First off, let me start with you, Judge Sandoval. Both of you have said that economic development was going to be so important in your administrations that it would come under the auspices of the governor's office. Saying that, how do you unite what seems to be kind of a fragmented policy of economic development with EDON and NNDA all working together for the best of Nevada rather than just for the region they serve?
Well, I think economic development obviously is probably one of the most important issues for the next governor and bringing new business to the state of Nevada. I've met with the head of the Nevada Development Authority in Southern Nevada, Summer Hollingsworth. I've met with Chuck Alvey, who's the head of EDON. I've met with the Northern Nevada Development Authority, as well as Northern Nevada Business Connections, which are all economic development authorities. And you're right. One of the issues is they need to collaborate more with the Nevada Commission on Economic Development. And I've also chatted with Brian Kralicki, the Lieutenant Governor, who chairs the Nevada Commission on Economic Development. I think it's important that be a strong resource to be a clearinghouse, but have all those different economic development authorities work together. And I've told them that I will be personally involved as governor to help them recruit those new businesses to the state of Nevada. I'll make the phone calls. I'll get on an airplane if that's what it takes to get these CEOs. It's no secret that literally there are hundreds of businesses that are seeking to relocate from either Oregon or California or other parts of the country that want to come here. I think it's important to give them a strong message that Nevada is a good place to do business.
Okay, thank you. Rory?
I think it's important that we not only talk to some people, but that we have a plan for the future. And I've made that a theme in my campaign. I've been very specific about what I would do. And I have a 30-page economic plan, and I say we need to first become the only energy-independent state in America. And I have policies that will do that. I say that we need to take more advantage of our opportunities in transshipment. That's important for northern and northeastern Nevada. We could warehouse and distribute much more than we have. We have technology that we haven't used. We have 24/7 culture, high computer literacy, every renewable resource known to man, and those are the ingredients to a brand new economy. And we also need a government that matches those goals. I have a budget plan that I proposed weeks ago, and one of the proposals is that we combine four departments of Nevada government so that they no longer compete but collaborate. And I would form in my administration the Department of Economic Development that would focus on a laser beam, like a laser beam, on my economic plan, and it would bring the government together in one place to do what needs to be done to bring new industries here and create jobs for our people.
Okay, let me follow up on that. You've both emphasized, I'm going to start with you, Commissioner Reed. You've both emphasized the importance of green energy projects and the jobs you think will result from them. Permitting for these projects can take 3 to 5 years. The approval can depend on conditions unrelated to the production of energy, and adjacent property owners like the Air Force Base at Nellis often challenge these kind of projects, and in that particular instance, that could take Southern Nevada out of the mix. Mm-hmm. How can the governor of the state be a force to streamline these energy projects?
The governor needs to be an advocate for an economic plan. The governor needs to tell Nevada what it can be, develop a specific plan, more than just talk, and more than getting on an airplane and talking to some people. The governor needs to have a plan with policies that align with those future goals, and I've done that. And once the policy's in place, the governor needs to be an advocate and bring local, state, and federal government agencies together to make sure approvals occur. Energy, if we do that right, will change Nevada fundamentally forever. We can be energy independent. California has a requirement in the law to buy 1/3 of their renewable energy. We could sell it to them. Nevada could be an energy exporter. We would create jobs for our people, short-term construction jobs, long-term manufacturing jobs, bring research and development to our universities. Energy is the place where Nevada can blossom. And I have a plan, a specific plan, that would allow that to happen.
A quick follow-up. Can you do it within less than 3 to 5 years?
Absolutely. We can begin the construction phase of many of these projects immediately. There are $5 billion worth of energy projects that have been approved and are ready for construction or are about to be within the next 12 months. And that's the best jobs plan that we have.
Judge Sandoval, same question.
Well, I'm not going to apologize for meeting with people. And I've toured the ORMAP facility, which is a geothermal facility right at the base of the Mount Rose Highway. I've visited with the folks at Vulcan Power, which is another geothermal company that has projects in Churchill County. The most important thing that has happened within the last 12 months is the approval of a transmission line between Ely and Las Vegas, which will allow a lot of these stranded geothermal projects to come online. And so now they are going to start to be constructed. But you hit it right on the head, Sam, with regard to permitting, federal permitting, working with the BLM. That's the frustration of these energy companies that I've spoken with. So the first thing I would do as governor would meet with Secretary of the Interior Salazar, and he was an attorney general when I was the attorney general, and see what we can do to expedite that portion of things. Because once these projects are permitted, we will have the transmission in place. We'll be able to wheel that power to Southern California. They have the power purchase agreements, PPAs, as they describe them, in place once that transmission is done. 30 years, we're going to get, Nevada will be a leader in the country with regard to renewable energy.
Commissioner Reed, let me start with you on this question. Research by the Hamilton Project of the Brookings Institute says that regions hit very, very hard by the recession tend to lag years behind the rest of the nation in coming out of the recession. If this is true, you could have an economic recession in Nevada through the first 4 years of your administration. How do you deal with an economy that is lagging behind the rest of the nation throughout your first term?
The first thing we do is create jobs for people. You can't have a quality of life if you don't have a job. And here's what I would do immediately. I would prioritize construction projects. Every local government in Nevada has a capital budget with money in it, and without putting additional burdens on taxpayers, we could use that money and create construction jobs. 85,000 Nevadans used to work construction. The second thing I would do is pursue my energy independence fund. That would prioritize and facilitate the construction of those energy projects I mentioned. $5 billion worth of energy projects. In the short term, that would mean real construction jobs quickly. Third thing I would do is follow what they've done in Georgia. In Georgia, the employment commissioner had a bright idea that we need to use. Instead of just giving people unemployment compensation checks, we should go out into the private sector, offer employers the ability to use these people as employees. We would pay them for a short period of time unemployment compensation. They would be trained by the private sector, and then the employer would have the opportunity to bring that person on full time. It's worked in Georgia, it will work here. Rather than just give people checks, let them be trained and work.
Okay, Judge Sandoval.
The single most important issue in terms of preserving our strong business environment in this state, protecting the business that we have here, and bringing new business to the state of Nevada is having a stable tax policy. That's one of the biggest differences between my opponent and me. I have been very clear that if there's any kind of a proposed tax increase by the Nevada legislature, that I would veto it. Now, these companies are seeking to flee California and Oregon and other states because they're being overtaxed and overregulated. So as governor, the first thing I would do would be to protect the positive business environment that we have and the tax-friendly environment that we have. My opponent has said that if he's presented with a budget by the legislature that includes a tax increase, that he would sign it. That would be the single worst signal that we could send to businesses that are seeking to come here.
Okay, real quickly, Commissioner Reed, would you sign a
Brian mischaracterizes what I said. I've been very clear about taxes. I've said we don't need new taxes. I've produced the only candidate that's produced a balanced budget proposal that doesn't have new taxes in it. So that's just not fair. And I think, Brian, you need to be careful because just last week you were talking about raising property taxes on people. So I think we agree on taxes, but what we disagree on is the importance of having a specific plan. I just told you three things I would do immediately to create jobs. Brian mischaracterized my record and did, frankly, what he's done the entire campaign. Lack any substantive answer to a direct question.
Okay, let's
what would
it.
We
let's
do? I told you what I'd do. I'm not sure what he would do.
Commissioner, let's hold it, and I'll give you 40 seconds to worry about that.
Well, he didn't answer the question. The question is this. Will you veto a budget that includes a tax increase that is presented to you by the legislature?
I've answered that question 1,000 times. And what I'll do is advocate for my budget proposal, and I will sign it into law. I have a plan. I'm an advocate of that plan. And, Brian, it's easy to throw stones when you haven't developed a plan. And when you do, I mean, we're running out of time. You got 6 days left. Let's have a real debate when you've told us what you're going to do.
All right,
excuse me, Commissioner, is that a yes or a no, please?
The answer is that I have a budget proposal that I will advocate for and sign into law. I'm not going to do anything other than that.
All right, let's move on to the next question. This is for Judge Sandoval to begin. The common wisdom about the state budget deficit is that it's too big to be fixed with only tax increases or only spending cuts. A combination of both will be necessary. I'm not going to ask you the same question everyone else asks about spending and taxes because that question rarely produces a candid answer. Instead, I'd like to ask you whether you are willing to take an unpopular stand, whatever that stand may be, or are you willing to commit yourself to a very specific and difficult plan of action, even if you end up as a one-term governor because of it? I'm not asking you to describe the plan. I'm asking if you are willing to be a one-term governor because you are committed to your plan.
I've been very clear since the beginning of this campaign. The worst thing that we could do in a struggling economy where we lead the country in unemployment, foreclosures, bankruptcy, is raise taxes on struggling Nevada families and businesses. And I think based on my opponent's response, we know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to raise taxes on the people of the state of Nevada. I'm going to that is going to require some difficult decisions. And as I've talked about yesterday, that we have a certain amount of money that we have to spend. That's where the budget begins, based on the money that we have to spend. Our state has actually lost population in the last 3 years since 2007, and our caseloads are basically the same, remain the same, or are stable. And so, therefore, we have the money to service all those programs. The problem that has happened is that even though our state population has decreased, our spending has increased by over $2 billion, or 38%. That's what we can't afford, is the growth of government. And so that's why my budget plan will require that we start with the amount of money that we have to spend, not what we'd like to spend, just like every Nevada family and business.
Jeremy Aguirre of Applied Analysis in the Review Journal this morning said that doesn't make sense, that your plan of rolling back to that previous time period doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't know if he said it didn't make sense, and maybe it does. Reasonable people are going to disagree. I think we have a certain amount of money to spend. That makes perfect sense to me. The amount of money, the amount of revenue that we have coming in, that our state population has decreased, that our caseloads are relatively the same or decreasing, our student population are relatively stable and will be decreasing.
Okay, let me follow up, if I may. Jeremy Aguirre of the economics research firm Applied Analysis said Sandoval's own figures suggest such a rollback is unrealistic. He said the declining population has sucked tax revenue out of the state, and the remaining residents are demanding more, not fewer, services from the government in the form of welfare, unemployment, insurance, benefits, and education. It seems to me that creates a larger problem, not a smaller one. He also said many costs are out of the governor's control. The cost of energy, you can't roll back to 2007. You can't roll back the cost of health care to 2007. I'll give you 30 seconds to rebut.
And as I said, Sam, reasonable people are going to disagree. What's unrealistic is raising taxes on struggling Nevada families and businesses. What that will do is put people out of work.
And to go back to my question, are you willing to be a one-term governor because you were committed to your plan?
Yes.
Okay. Chairman Reed?
Brian continues to say that I'm going to raise taxes. He mischaracterizes the facts. I'm the only candidate that has a balanced budget proposal. It's on my website. You can read it. In it, you see how I balance the budget without taxes. That's a fact. Brian says he will not raise taxes. But I think what his plan is to push it down to local government so that they will. That became obvious last week when he had a rare moment of candor. And as to Brian's so-called plan, it wasn't a plan, it was a press release that he put out a week before the election. And I think Brian's doing a Michael J. Fox imitation. He's got his flux capacitor and his DeLorean and he wants to go back to the future. You just can't do that. You can't do it. That's why everybody that's heard about this so-called plan is rejecting it within minutes of it being released. We can't magically go back to 2007. We need to deal with today's facts. And we need a real plan that balances. That's what I've provided.
And if I go back to the original question, was I'm asking if you're willing to be a one-term governor because you're committed to your plan.
Absolutely.
Judge Sandoval, at the federal level, if you're elected, a big issue will be the legalization of online gaming, specifically online poker, not only for Nevada, but for the entire United States. There are many smaller casinos in Reno, in Gardnerville, in Elko, in Fallon that are concerned about this, because if you legalize online poker, that means there may be fewer people coming in to those smaller casinos and gaming there, eating there, and having a libation there. If you're elected, how will you lobby the federal government over online gaming?
Well, first I want to go back to Mr. Reed talking about his budget. I've heard him every time he talks about his budget, he says, let's refer to my website. I've never heard you, Mr. Reed, explain your budget. And it includes $615 million of money, of revenue that doesn't exist. It includes another $300 to $400 million in efficiencies and modernizations that go unexplained. It talks about $150 million of transfer from the transportation to the general fund, which is unconstitutional. It doesn't add up. It doesn't balance. It's not a plan. It's a stack of paper. With regard to your question, Mr. Hager, the reality is this, is that we already have online poker. I mean, it is online as it exists.
Offshore.
Offshore or where you may have it. If it's going to be, and that's going to be a decision that's made by the federal government, I've always felt that if the federal government makes that decision, that Nevada has always been a leader internationally and nationally with regard to the regulation of gaming. So if it is legalized, Nevada should be a leader in the regulation of that.
Okay, I'm going to give you a minute 15 to respond.
As to online poker, billions of dollars are being made on this industry, and Nevada's missing out on it. We have tremendous brands here. We are known as the place where gaming occurs, and we should take advantage of it. And as governor, I would advocate the federal government, and I would urge legislators to create a regulatory structure so that we could participate in it. Let me explain my budget to Brian and everybody else. It is not a fantasy. Brian's budget is, his so-called budget, his press release he put out last night, he wants to go back in time, somehow climb on a time machine and go back to 2007. You can't do that. What you can do is make Nevada have a government that matches the new economy. I consolidate 10 of the state departments. That saves millions of dollars. He continues to assert that I have $600 million of fantasy money. His budget's a fantasy. The $600 million that he refers to, it's not a fantasy. We have $5 billion of energy projects that are about to be built here. That will generate new revenue. We have tax money that we haven't collected. That's not a fantasy. We have money that we've left on the table with the federal government. That's not a fantasy. And every number in a budget is a projection. I have an economic plan that I believe will make Nevada's economy grow beginning immediately. And that will create new revenue. It's not a fantasy. And it's all laid out in my budget, in black and white.
I'm going to pose this question to you, Chairman Reed. The legislative session will begin a few weeks after you're sworn in. Mm-hmm. Because of term limits, you'll be working with a legislature where more than a third of the members are inexperienced during a session that's sure to be one of the most difficult anyone can remember. What do you see as the challenges for a brand new governor working with a legislature that has so many brand new members?
Well, this isn't new to me. I've led a very large government, a big organization, for almost 8 years now. I've been the chief executive officer of that organization. And what you do is you lead. You advocate a position. And I've been very explicit about what I'll do. I have an economic plan that talks about what I would do to diversify the economy, to create jobs. I have a K-12 and higher education plan. I have an ethics plan. I have six plans the size of a small novel, if you put them all together. And I would go to the new legislators and say, here's where Nevada is. Here's what our problems are. Here's what we could be. Come with me. Here's the plan to create a new economy, a new education system. Here's what we can do to make Nevada better. I need your help. Let's go do it. That's what I would do. I've done it before. And whether they're new or old, I'll preach the same gospel.
Judge Sandoval?
Well, my opponent and I have two different experiences with the legislature. He's been a lobbyist in the legislature. I've served in the legislature. I've served two terms in the Nevada legislature. I've passed 14 bills into law. I know what it is to work directly with members. Yeah, in my second term, there were 29 Democrats and 13 Republicans, yet I was able to pass 8 bills into law. So I'm going to use that experience as a governor to work with the legislature. As the Attorney General, I had to present a budget to the Nevada legislature and also work to pass specific law enforcement and public safety related legislation, and was very successful with that. I have had relationships with some of the current legislators that'll likely be the majority leader and the speaker. You're right, we're going to have a lot of new members in that legislature, and they're going to need a governor who has that experience and has the willingness to work across the aisle and work together and make the case that raising taxes would be the worst thing that we could do in this economy.
I'm going to steal Ray's thunder here and ask you, because we only have about 2 minutes left here. There's been a lot of talk about green energy, but what do you see as the future of agriculture in Nevada with so many issues about water?
Is that to me, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. And again, I've spent time in Elko, Eureka County, Humboldt County, Pershing County, some of the very important ranching and cattle locations throughout the state of Nevada. I think it's very important to preserve our agriculture, preserve our rural economy. As a legislator, I sat on the Natural Resources, Agriculture, and Mining Committee, so I have the experience in terms of working with the folks in those specific areas.
As we're running out of time, we have about 30 seconds.
It's a resource issue, Sam. The issue for agriculture is whether they have the water to grow their crops, and we need to have cooperation and collaboration. We need to protect economic interests and rural lifestyles by making sure they have the water to live their life. And that's going to take cooperation and collaboration. I've done that. Clark County's cooperated, and I've told this story several times. There used to be a water war between Clark County and Lincoln County. There isn't one anymore because we found a way to protect urban and rural interests, and we'll need to continue to do that. The key to Nevada's agricultural future is water.
And that's where we have to leave it for this portion of the debate. We will continue with the debate on our next broadcast right here on Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.